From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
Father, tonight, thank you for bringing us together. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Your grace is enough for me. Yeah, that's all you need. I tell you, sometimes you think you need something more, but it's just the grace of God you need. Isn't it? And sometimes you may not really appreciate some of the things that you have. But the grace is enough, isn't it? Grace is the only thing that will take you home. That's why I have the song that says, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that has saved someone. Or the old version says, a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind. I see. It's the grace that makes you see. Turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, it's the grace that makes you see. Hallelujah. We're looking at shepherding. Shepherding. Looking at shepherding. And we're trying to emphasize. Michelle, are you there? Amen, Michelle. We're trying to emphasize. According to the scriptures. You see, there are so many things in the Bible. I mean, if we are going to preach for eternity, I'm sure we'll get messages to preach for eternity. Hallelujah. And this season, I believe that God has laid on my heart to bring to light the importance of a shepherd and what it means to be there and the functions and all of that. You know, we may be living our lives in our own ways, which is not a problem. But if you want to do it God's way, then God will want you to be led by a vessel that He has chosen. Are you listening to me? I said, it is not a problem if you want to live your own life. No problem at all. This world is a free world. It's not only America where you have the land of the brave, home the free. The whole world is a free world. You see the people who are marching on Saturday. Is it Saturday? Yeah, they're marching, fighting for their rights. It's a share, fight for your rights, freedom and justice. I can do what I want to do with my life. Give me the space to like a boy if I were like a boy. Give me a space to like a woman if I like a woman. I mean, it's a free world. You can't tell somebody what they should do. But there is the human way and there is a God's way. And the human way always bring us to a point where we get confused and frustrated. But God's way is always peace. There's always security and assurance with going God's way. So the Bible says in Numbers chapter 27 and verse 15. Numbers 27 and verse 15. The Bible says that Moses spake unto the Lord saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the people. That's it. Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man. This is Moses. Set a man over the people. Now, just to help you understand it a little bit, Moses was about to die. You know, remember God told Moses to go and speak to the rock and that water will come out of the rock. And then he will let the people of Israel drink from the rock. And Moses was so bored. He was so stressed with the people and all the difficulties they were putting him through, that instead of speaking to the rock, he used his rod to hit the rock, which was different from what God asked him to do. And because of that, God said, hey, I'm done with you. I'm done with you. Because what I asked you to do, you didn't do exactly that. So God told him that he will actually see Canaan, but he will never step foot in Canaan. It tells you that anytime you are able to experience something good, it is a gift of God. Should I say it again? Because I think you were right. You didn't understand what I was saying. I said that if God told Moses, whom he, you see, Moses, God, he was minding his own business. Oh. The guy was taking care of sheep. You know, he tried at the age of 40, he tried to enter into politics. And it didn't work. The people rejected him. So he left politics. He went to do some social work. He wanted to take care of sheep. For 40 years, he was doing sheepology. He left politics, political science, whatever, activists, civil rights, all these things. He left everything because he felt so disappointed that the people didn't like him. He thought that he was a good guy to help and save the people. But he realized that the people didn't like him. So he left politics and he left saving people and he went on exile. Or is it in exile? In or on? In exile. In exile, isn't it? Which school did you go to? Are you sure? Okay. He went into exile. Into exile. Prince, into exile. Okay, good. So Prince said he's into exile. Why am I struggling when Prince is sitting right here? Right. Into exile. Yeah, it's a movement. Into exile. For 40 years, he was taking care of sheep. One day, as usual, he took the sheep to the backside of the desert, you know, to try and make sure the sheep is okay. Then he sees a tree, a shrub like that. A tree. It was burning. Green, burning. And he realized that it was not consumed. It was not finishing. There was fire on this thing, and it wasn't finishing. So he said, I've never seen something like this before. Let me go close and see what's happening. So he went a little close. Then he heard a voice that he should take off his shoes because where he's standing is holy ground. Hey, what is this? Then at that moment, at that point, he encountered God, and God told him he wants to use him to liberate his people Israel from Egypt to Canaan. So, in a certain sense, Moses didn't ask God for any business. It's God who chose Moses. So now if Moses has gone to hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock, why would you not overlook it and say, man, Moses, you didn't want nothing. I wanted it, so if you do anything, it's okay. No, God said, you will see Canaan. You will see it, but you will never get there. And I'm saying that for many of us who take certain things for granted, the things we have, the things we achieve, it is a gift of God. Hey, if you are ever able to drive a car, if you are ever able to build a house, if you are ever able to finish school and get a certificate, all the things we are able to do, if you ever get to the end of something you start, it is the one who is the beginning and the end. He's the one who has taken you from the beginning and has brought you to the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. It is because he was with you. That is how come you were able to get to the end. It's not by might, not by power. Because if you look at how Moses, with all the sacrifices, all the stress, now, let me say one reaction to the people. And the people, they were very stressful. They were very, very stressful. They said the food came. They said meat came. They said, hey, sea divided into two. They said water. People are not people. You know. But it's very interesting what happened when God said that God invited Moses to a mountain. He said, you're going to go on the mountain and I'm going to show you Canaan. And it's going to be your last time. You'll never go down the mountain. So as you are coming up, you know, you have to prepare yourself. So Moses then says that, then let God now, in a certain sense, it's God who sets people above people. The Bible says that promotion comes not from the east, nor the west, nor the south. It is God who raises kings, and it's God who brings people down. So when you are promoted, or when you rise up, when a room is given to you, it is God who makes it possible. So Moses said, okay, if I'm going to come, let me call one of these boys who I know are very intelligent. No. He said, let God. Because to be set over people, God has to do it. So when you see us here pastoring, we didn't choose it. It's God who chose us. That's why he also fights for people he chooses. Do you get it? He said, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the people. Because if I am going to the mountain and I'll not return, then what happens to the people? In other words, people are very dependent on a leader. If there is no leader, the people are lost. In other words, if you don't have a leader, a spiritual leader over your life, you are lost. In other words, the people who are out there who think that they are okay, they are not okay. The people who are there who think that they can do all bad by themselves, it cannot work. So we are emphasizing on the need for shepherds, on the need for people to be set above God's people. That the God of all spirits of all, the God of the spirits of all flesh will set some of you, maybe not everybody, it's not possible to have everybody do the same thing, but some of you, some group of you, to set you on top and above his people. You see, without that, the people out there, the people in here, the life will be so difficult. And I say it, that I am here because somebody's over my life. And I say it, when I'm preaching this message and I see some faces, it makes me get very annoyed. You know, there are some faces that when I'm talking about this, I see, and I know how rebellious they are in the church. I know how they are so own way. How they don't like to do it. They don't like to discuss anything. It's like they are just lone rangers. When I'm talking about this, I see them. I can get this. Last night I was preaching about it, and I saw one rebellious person in the church. I almost flipped. It's because it's very difficult when you're preaching about a subject, and then you know clearly that Sister Michelle sitting out there has done something you know about. It's very difficult to control yourself not to go her direction or not to go his direction. So it's like you have to preach generally. No, but me, sometimes I can't handle that though. I have to mention her name for her to see that. Because sometimes people are also in a certain way that if you are not direct, they think it's them you are talking about. So I'd rather be direct. You get it? Because even if I don't mention your name or I'm not direct, you tell, oh, it's because of me, that's why he's saying this. So just so that you are not confused, I mention your name. Then you can say, it is me the man is talking about. Yeah, it is you I'm talking about. I mean, yeah, you are a good example of a bad case. Yeah, of a bad case. So this here tells you and I, if you're understanding the verse, tells you and I that you need somebody over your life. 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 Sunday night, you know, we have a small meeting. And I, our brother who has joined us, Akeem, who plays a violin. You know, I wanted to know, he doesn't speak much. So I wanted to know what is going on in his head. So I asked him, you should tell us his experience. Then he said,
you know, he said some things, and he said that he has always desired to use his talent and what he has learned, what he has acquired. He has always wanted to use it in the church. Always wanted to use it in the church. Yeah. In other words, the Bible says in Philippians that it is God who works in us to will. Philippians, I think it's 2:13 or so. It is God who works in us to will. So if you desire something, it is not a self-generated desire. It is a desire that comes from God. You get it? For it is God which worketh in you both to will. So if you desire the will or the desire to help somebody or to bless somebody, it is not you.
when I got out of my car, a small boy came and gave me a white envelope. And he says, "Please, Bishop, this is a small boy's envelope." I said, "The Lord bless you." Now, he cannot think of giving me an envelope. It is God. That's what I'm trying to say. So your will, your desires, if you're a Christian, the things you desire to do, the things you allow yourself to do, it is God who works in you. It is God. Yeah. It's not you. How can it be you? I mean, how can you? Everybody's looking for money. How do you want to find money and give it to somebody else? Are you correct? Are you sure you're thinking straight? Everybody wakes up in the morning and go to work looking for money. And are you the little that you have gotten? You put it in an envelope and you give it to the pastor who doesn't seem to be working. He's just talking all the time. And he's like, he wants people money and things. It's mysterious. It is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So, in other words, when the brother says he has always desired to be in a church, to use his gift in a church, in other words, God has always, generated him for him to come under a pastor. That's what I'm trying to tell you. When he says he desires, all that he's actually, God has generated in him is that this thing that you have, you need somebody I have called to manage it for you. You may not understand what I'm saying. Yeah.
Whoever you are, sitting here tonight, you are so important. God loves you and watches so much over you that he does not want you to be lost with what he has given you. So he brings you under a leader, a man that he sets above you to be able to manage you and your gift and your talent and the resources he has given you. You need somebody to oversee those things. I tell you. So, you and I are somewhat safe. Not all of us are safe because many of us are around and still not really, really under supervision. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, the Bible says, when he saw the multitude, he was filled with compassion. Because when he saw people, when you see all these people, these LGBT, whatever people, it's when you see them, you must be moved with compassion. Because the only problem is that they don't have anybody to slap them. They don't have a shepherd. If you see a boy, is it when you see these people caught round up and people are in shackles and then they try to cover their face? The Bible says people like that, it is because they have no shepherd. That's why they scatter. It's not that whatever reason, they are unemployment, and the youth need to be busy, they need to be, you are joking. They need somebody spiritual to watch over their souls. That is how God made it.
I don't know what I would have done with my life. I think my life would have been very, very predictable. As a Ghanaian born in Ghana, migrated to Europe, your whole vision is to build a house in Ghana. Whatever you do, whether you get educated, whether you do business, you get money, your whole vision is to build a big house back home in your country. And then every year you go like 2 weeks. And then you try and buy some small RAV4 and go and park it in the house. So every year after the white man drains you, you take 2 weeks. And then you buy KLM. You go. The clothes you can't wear, you put them in your bag. And you go and show off. You drive the car for 2 weeks. Back to base. When you are coming, you take off the tires and you warn your siblings, nobody should touch the car. For 1 year. Praise. Sometimes not even 1 year. You can't go every year. Sometimes you go like 3 years, and then sometimes it stretches 5 years. Because when you are going, you have to be loaded. When you are going, people are expecting so much from you. I say, Guyana, we are very blessed though. Because when Ashanti and when they came from America, we don't see them driving any car. If it was in Canada, they would say, useless girl. You went to America, you can't even drive a car. Take yourself, go somewhere. You go to a place where we cannot go. A place where people are up in life. And then you come back, you can't show us anything practically. I say, go away. You go for a few years, you can't come and buy a lot and build a fancy house for your parents to move from the scheme. They'll say you're useless, man. You're useless. You've gone to be in America 5 years. You're useless. That's the pressure Africans have. And that's all. If I was in Europe, the only thing would have been, of course, my father, we built a house for my father and I bought a car for him. So then it would have been my turn. Because as you go, anytime you go on vacation, then your friend will call you and say, you got land? You got land? It's like they will worry you with land. You'll be forced to buy land. Because they'll say, you know that is not your country. Like, unlike we Guyanese, when we go to America, we think America is for us. Oh, well, yeah, I'm coming on in America. You are not an American. You are not American. So there's 2 weeks. Yeah, the place is hot. The place is hot. You were born right here in our boys' town. Excuse me. Let's be serious. You will buy a land. I a few years ago, I just asked my wife, I said, Charlie, this double lot that we have, that people are calling us from Ghana and putting pressure on us, I want to give it to the church in Ghana. I don't want to be sleeping and somebody calling me from Ghana about some litigation about land. Meaningful. Because as you were growing up, you must. Your father will be on your case. It's a song your father will sing to you every day when you call him. He say, hey, so have you considered buying a land? Yeah, daddy, you know. Yeah. Have you considered? Your mother, your schoolmate, your classmate, your girlfriend even will say, Charlie, let's go and buy a land and build a house. It's all about a house and a land. After that, you buy a car and you park the car. That's what I would have done with my life. I don't know what else I would have been doing if I was living in Europe up to now. Maybe build more houses that I can't go and stay inside. But I met a pastor. I met a man of God who said, do this, do that. Go here, do this, do that. And that's why I'm here today. I'm saying that it's in the same way. If you look at yourself, with all that we have, if we don't have a certain covering and a certain church,
to be in and be a little guided. We will lose our talent. We will waste our skills. Yeah, I mean, Freddie Kisun is somebody I love very much. I've still, after 13 years, I've still not been able to get a chance to meet him. Anytime I see him, I say, I will stop and flag him. But when I see him, I just pass. You have his number, right? Yeah. You have his email. Maybe we should have. I read your lunch, man. Prince, hook me up, man. Hook me up. Let's have some breakfast somewhere in some Atlantic hotel, something. Over seeing the breeze. Let's go and drink coffee at Oasis. Like we don't have coffee in our houses. Let's go and drink, buy coffee. It's different. Different. Let's go and drink some coffee. I want to tell Freddie Kisun that I love him very much, but he's wasting his talent. Yeah. And that's exactly what Bishop has done with the songs. All the people who have been able to come up with beautiful songs. Bishop says, why do you sing this song to the devil? Why don't you? So he said, I will take that song that you have given to the devil and I'll put in nice words and I'll, to the glory of God. Because if you're able to compose a song and sing, it is God who has given you that talent. Hey, let me tell you, from Steve Jobs, from what? Zuckerberg, all these people, Warren Buffett, what? Oprah Winfrey, all these people, it's God who gave them whatever they have. They just, in their ignorance, do not recognize God in it. They think it is by their power and their might. It is God. It is God. The Bible says he reigns on the righteous and the wicked. The fact that you are a Christian or you are not a Christian doesn't mean that it's not God who gives you the things that you have. How else would you get those things? It's God who gives knowledge. It's God who gives wisdom. Yeah, and the things that people have developed, that's why medicine is something you can't say, I'm a Christian, so I don't go to the hospital. You have to be, you are a big fool if you don't go to the hospital. But the medical sciences and medical doctors, many of them are not Christians. If some of them will write, will put a certain sickness on you, you get depressed after you visit them. They are not Christians. But they can put something together and prescribe medication for you. I tell you, something that was about to kill you, it's like a miracle. It goes because he prescribed the medicine for you. So we believe in that. Believe in that. You can't say you don't believe in technology. So when you are traveling to Barbados, you want to walk. Because the aeroplanes were made by these unbelievers. I don't want to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I want to find a Christian who has something. If not, I'll just make my way there. Once you can walk over the Atlantic, you're fine. Christian Sea. Caribbean Sea too, isn't it? So, it is very important that we emphasize, and I emphasize as your pastor, the need for shepherds. I'm sure many of you will testify that if it wasn't for a shepherd in your life, I mean, dangle, to the power 20. Full blown dangle. Man. You see, the people who are, you would have been in the parade fighting for danglistic rights. Give us freedom to be dangles. Yeah. No, if you, ladies and gentlemen, if you go down to the lives of those people, for example, who were marching. They are not different. I mean, a sin is sin. I mean, not that I'm not picking on them, right? I'm just using them as an example. If you were to go down into their life, you realize that they needed somebody who wasn't there, and that's what shifted them in a certain direction. Many people turn gay because a woman disappointed them or a man disappointed them. They were depending on something they couldn't get. So the disappointment takes them off.
It's true. So we must desire to step into this gracious place of becoming a shepherd. And that's why I'm teaching about the development to become a shepherd, the things you need to embark on, the things you need to engage yourself in to become a shepherd. What's number one?
Remember? Sorry? Accept the sovereignty of God, isn't it? Number two, develop a skill in the church. Number three, become a spiritually mighty man by developing in prayer and the word. Number four, become a servant of the existing minister, just as David became the armor bearer of Saul. I'm sure you're waiting for number five. Number five, ensure that you find favor in the eyes of the one you serve. Ensure that you find favor. The Nigerian will say favor. Sometimes when I meet people and they say, Nigerian? I realize that they don't know English at all. It's just like you see a Jamaican and you say, Guyanese? How can a Jamaican speak and you say he's Guyanese? Jamaicans speak very differently from when I go to Jamaica. I don't understand nothing. I try to avoid the people. Because when they come, they say, yeah, Bishop. I said, no, this one is a different level. It's deep. Hey. Yeah, they have a deep accent. So when people say, oh, Nigerian, I realize that, oh, you don't know world history at all. Because the Nigerian will say, favor. Favor. Aha. The Ghanaian will say, favor. Favor. It's like F-A-V-A, favor. Or F-A-E-V-A, favor. Ghana will say, favor. Nigeria will say, favor. And it is favor, isn't it? It's a F-A-V-O-U-R, favor. When we say favor. So we say association. And then Nigerians say association. Association. And they say, what? Corporation. And we will say corporation. Who say pressure? They'll say pressure. So don't call me a Nigerian. We are very, very different. Ensure you find a favor in the eyes of the one you serve. I mean, what is the use, Winchester, of serving somebody and then you don't have favor with a person? First Samuel chapter 16. Even before that, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Make sure that you find favor. Akim has found favor. It's not because he plays the violin, that's why. He's found favor, that's why he comes on stage. You know, in our church, we can be very tight. So you speak in tongues. Sorry? It doesn't matter what you come with and all of that. It's favor. Tell to your neighbor, favor. I'm changing your English for favor. Yeah. It sounds... favor. 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 2 Timothy chapter 2. Make sure. Is it because? Let's take politics, for example, Prince. All the ministers, APNU, they found favor with David Granger. Yeah. When he became the flag bearer. Presidential candidate, you better
Koto. You know Koto? Yeah, you better make him feel nice. Yeah, you better drink soup, for the lack of a better word. You better be in his good books. Because should he win the election and becomes a president, hey,
even if all the ministerial positions have been occupied, let them choose you as a minister within the ministry. All those things, they created it for people they had favor with. Yeah. Yeah. Then they split home affairs and they give you citizenship. Yeah, that's it. Minister of death certificate and birth certificate. Yeah, no, yeah. It's favor. Because, Charlie, you help them. You campaign. As they were in Region 8, you were trying to do your best in Region 1 for them. Now they've won. You say, Charlie, so, what's going on? Yeah, birth certificate. They book you minister of birth certificate. Passports. Yeah, you walk around a minister. Yeah, in a certain sense, they've broken down the things into pieces so that in a certain way, you know, it can probably be mastered or something like that. But it's in another sense also. It is so that everybody will get some part of the cake to eat. Part of the cake, the pie. The Bible says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast said of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Why would he do that? Because he needs to find favor with the person who called him to be a soldier, so that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. It is, you see, if you don't please the one who has chosen you, the one who you are serving, you are not going anywhere. Whether in the Christian world or in the secular world, you are not going anywhere. The difference is that in the Christian world, you don't pretend. You don't lick bottoms. You don't pretend and try that you are position conscious or something. You don't do that in the Christian world. But there's a genuine favor you must get from the person you are serving. Yeah? Because everything depends on him. It is through him that God blesses you. It is through him that God takes care of you. It is through his words that you either go forward or stagnate or go backwards. Yeah, so it is important to find favor with a person whom you are serving. I said it yesterday in Wales. I said, I mean, the problem we may have around here is that some of the men feel so glorious, feel so sovereign and majestic, mighty, patriotic, that you don't want to submit to any other man because you are like a big man. It's not a matter of being a big man. I mean, who's not a big man? Everybody's a big man. Who's not a big man? Even the little children, they feel like they're all big men. Hey, Rachel, don't you feel like a big man? Yeah, where's Andrew, my friend? Andrew, is he here? Andrew? Yeah, Andrew, don't you feel like a big man? Yeah, sending your sending your 18-year-old sister out of the room because you have some private stuff. You feel like a big man. Yeah. You think you can tell Andrew that, hey, hello, stop the rough there. You are the small boy, just do whatever you want to do. He said, no. I sent my 18-year-old sister out of the room because she can't see my private stuff. And he's right. Because he's proud of what he has. Yeah, you two should be proud of what you have. Praise. Ah, somebody is proud of their vehicles. And he's also proud of his private stuff. Yeah. God gave it to him. I tell you, it's his own. He didn't borrow. It has a mag rims and all kinds of things running the thing. Low profile. Joshua, why are you laughing? You don't engage in any other thing. You focus in trying
to gain favor from the person you are serving. So David did the same thing. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 21, the Bible says, "And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved, Saul loved David greatly. And because of that love, he became his armor bearer." 1 Samuel 16, 21. Because of the love, because of the favor David got before Saul, he pushed him forward. Hey, you can say whatever you want to say. People come forward and people shine because of favor. I said, you can talk, you can jealous, you can envy, you can backbite, you can front bite, you can side bite, you can above bite, whatever type of bite. People come ahead, people move forward, people shine, people are brought into the limelight because they find favor. When Jesus chose the 12 guys who were following him, there wasn't any agreement that, okay, you be the rock, you be the beloved, you be the Iscariot, you be this. No, 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 no. As they walk together, people actually position themselves naturally by how they comported or conducted themselves around Jesus Christ. And those who found favor, Jesus positioned them somewhere. That's why James and John, their mother came to Jesus and said, you know what? Let my children, one sit on your right, one sit on your left. Jesus said, ask for this thing. I can't give it. It's like the favor to sit on my left or right. It's not something you can come and request for. It must be given to you. I said, it must be given to you. Yeah. So when you see, you want to be a shepherd, you want to be a good shepherd, you should be like David. You should make sure that the person you are serving under has some great love for you. And therefore, because of the love, he makes you into something. Yeah. I mean, it works everywhere. It works everywhere, Prince. It works everywhere. Everywhere in the secular world, if you like, you go to a job, a place working. Let me tell you, it's not everybody who waits 5 days for a passport. Yeah. You can get a passport same day. Yeah. It depends on favor. Or favor. Once you have favor over your life, I tell you, you go in and you come out. You go in and you come out. I mean, you go and come, go and come, go and come. Yeah. I have a new little boy around, Quincy Tom. Quincy, stand up. Yeah, it's my latest boy. Yeah. I told his mother, I said, "Mommy, I'm taking your boy away from you. So find a babysitter." I like your son. I want him to come closer to me. It's favor. But there are many boys. Andrew is my friend. Rashawn is my lawyer. And Quincy is my something. It's prophecy, isn't it? Yeah, I'm prophesying. He's my lawyer. Andrew is my friend. Where's Andrew? Yeah. Triana is my cousin. Triana, stand up. Yeah, she's my cousin. You know my cousin? That's Triana right there. Yeah. My cousin from Queenstown is Sikwebo. So who are you to me? You see, you are lost in the appointment, huh? Yeah. So make sure that favor comes your way as a shepherd, as you're developing. Let me tell you, you will think that, thank you, friends and family and sympathizers. Lawyers and associates and compatriots and comrades. Yeah. You'll be surprised that when you get favor with a person you are serving under, it will be as if God has brought you a miracle. It is God, but you don't see God behind you. You see the man and you feel so fantastic. You try it and see.
So it's very important that as we are all working here in the church and all of that, you know, no, some of you really look at what is important. The one to really get favor from. Your life will be different. Stand to your feet, please. My time is up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God. Thank you for His word. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Kebroshi kabaraba kabraba baba bande. Yes, Lord. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you for teaching and speaking to us. Our lives are never the same. We can't leave tonight's service. We can't end well if you are here and you are not sure whether you know Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. You want to say, Bishop, tonight, I need Jesus. I want to make a decision. I want to make a decision. Sometimes we are very, very bad in making decisions. Tonight is your night. It's a night of decision making. You want to say, Bishop, I need Jesus. I want Jesus. I want eternal life. I want to go to heaven when I die. As of now, as I stand here, I'm not sure whether I'll go to heaven or hell when I die. It's a very simple prayer you need to pray if you want to go to heaven. You need to acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Like the thief on the cross, he acknowledged the Lordship of Jesus Christ. When the other thief was trying to tell him, get down and come and save us, he said, hey, remember me. Remember me, Lord, I humble myself. Remember me when you come in your glory. He acknowledged the kinship, the lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, tonight, today, you'll be with me in paradise. I want to pray with you if you want to give your heart to Jesus Christ tonight. Every eye closed, every head bowed. You want to lift up your right hand. You want to lift up your right hand and say, Bishop, please pray for me. I need Jesus. I want Jesus. I want to be saved. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. You're here like that. Just your right hand. Just your right hand. I want to pray with you. 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 Just your right hand up high so I can see it. You're not saved. You're not born again. If you die right now, you're not sure where you'll go. Tonight, you want to change that destination. Your right hand up high so I can see it. Your right hand. I see a hand right there. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. Your right hand. Your right hand. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. You lifted up your hand. I want to ask you to please come to the front and let me pray with you. Come, mommy. Come, my sister. Come, my brother. Come to the front. Clap for them as they come. Oh, clap for them. Clap for them. Clap for them. Clap for them. Clap, 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 clap. God bless you, sir. You're right. Just look at me here, right here. God bless you, sir. God bless you, auntie. God bless you. Wow. God bless you. Close your eyes, auntie, right here. Close your eyes with me. Lift up your hand. Lift up your two hands. Church, join in as we pray this very important prayer together. God bless you, sir. It's better you come late than never. Your two hands lifted. Say this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I confess Jesus died for me. And I confess God raised him from the dead. I open my heart right now. And I invite Jesus to come into my life. To come into my heart. To live and to stay in my heart. By this simple prayer, I believe I'm saved. I believe all things have passed away. I believe I am a brand new person. Thank you, Father, for giving me another chance
to live my life properly, I believe that I'm saved. I believe my name is written in the book of life. And heaven is my home. Thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I pray for these wonderful people who came forward to give their hearts and their lives to you. The Bible said that if you don't draw us to you, nobody can come to you. And therefore, tonight, I know and I believe with all my heart that it is you who has drawn these wonderful people to you. I pray for them. Lord, your covering will be over them. I pray, my Lord and my God, that they will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That dwelling in the secret place will elevate them, promote them, and preserve them all the days of their lives. I cancel and I nullify, I neutralize the works of the enemy concerning their lives. Every dark shadow that has been following them from tonight, I command that dark shadow to not follow them anymore in the name of Jesus. They have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And they are saved. Thank you for the beginning of good things. The beginning of better things. The beginning of a new life. A new life full of peace and joy and righteousness. Thank you, Father, for adding them, O God, into the fold that is already here. I give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.